This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you with Brendan Bale. Brendan, can you sit still in your seat?
No, I can't.
We have a very, 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 very special guest in the studio, and normally we'd go through a whole heap of bio, but I'd rather just spend time introducing, so I'll let you do that.
Let's just get straight into it.
Hi.
Welcome, Maka Cho.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. That's wonderful.
Yeah. What are some of the things we're going to be talking about today?
I would like to talk about New Zealand, bisexuality, taboo tattoos, a bit of Kathy Griffin.
Oh, of course.
And then we'll talk about my show.
Thanks.
Yes, I'm surprised you didn't put that first.
Well, I think it's all really related to my show, because we'll discuss all these things in my show also. And then, it's good.
Brendan and I got to see your show on Tuesday, so we're kind of very excited about that. We had the best seats in the house, didn't we?
We did, actually.
Ooh, where were you?
Front and centre.
Perfect.
We got, straight in front of you.
That's perfect.
Mm. One of the things that I was surprised about, a couple of things, actually. One was there must have been about 450 people there or something, and one straight person.
Yeah, one straight person.
Yes.
Well, actually, I met another one who came out to me as straight afterwards.
Oh, so it's in the straight closet.
Well, it's in the straight closet, but sometimes I think it's a great feeling to have such a queer audience in a queer environment where everybody is really, you know, because we're so used to being separated. At least I am. I'm so used to kind of going to straight events and going to straight functions. And so to have something that's totally queer, that's outside of like a pride parade or outside of Mardi Gras or something, it's really cool, I think.
I was impressed. It was because normally you would get a whole straight crowd and that one gay person putting their hand up. Yeah. But in this, and it was that one straight person slowly putting their hand up.
It's awesome.
But it was. Now, you talked about a lot about homophobia in your show.
Yes.
New Zealand has just passed the fact that, you know, same-sex couples can get married.
Yeah.
How's that on your radar?
Well, it took a long time. Maybe because it was directed by Peter Jackson. But it was, like, very long. But now it's just, you know, it's all going to be all about rings. It's going to be lots and lots of rings and lots of precious. It's very exciting. I think, for me, it's exciting because I've been working towards gay marriage for such a long time. And I want to see that happen all over the world. And so, actually, last night I was talking about it and I got really emotional because I feel like, well, you know, I know so many, I lived through the age of AIDS, so I know so many people who would have loved to have seen that, you know, and gotten married in New Zealand. And, you know, that's a sad thing to think about, all these people from my generation who aren't here. And it's because of homophobia and the lack of understanding of AIDS and the incredible and terrible, like, scourge that had on our community.
So do you think something like this happening really sort of combats homophobia?
Yes, because it really brings homosexuality into families. It makes families. It's like now we are allowed to create families and we can be part of the mainstream. And I think it's a really important thing. It's an important step for the government to acknowledge that everybody's equal also.
Being part of the gay community yourself and also being a gay icon, how do you sort of deal with that on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really even think about it very much, you know, because everything is just kind of, I find I'm just always being offended by the way that people treat homosexuality, the way that they treat just kind of this weirdness about homosexuality. Like this whole thing that happened in America with Michelle Schacht was really shocking. I mean, was she here when she did? She did a radio interview in Australia, I know, where she kind of first went out on this sort of really homophobic rant. This was a couple of years ago. But it's really troubling and really difficult when somebody that you think is part of the community is suddenly against you.
Yeah, it doesn't sort of make sense, does it?
No.
No,
and it's hurtful and it's really hard and it's sad that, you know, when you love music, and I love her music, and it's a part of my life, and, you know, it's very hard to separate yourself from the music that you love.
Question to the invincible Margaret Cho. As an American of an Asian heritage, are you concerned that Obama is still being targeted for his race, or have Americans moved on from those narrow-minded souls, lieu of recent events, of course?
I don't know. I think there's so much to deal with right now in America, especially with all of the gun violence and, of course, the Boston Marathon explosions and, you know, things. There's so many violent, terrible things that we kind of now just kind of have to be together on things. And he's very supportive of gay marriage, finally, which is a really, really great thing. So I feel like people are forgetting about race just because, in this instance, we can't even afford to think about it. You know, we can't have the time.
Paul Anthony, Brendan Bale with you. Our special guest in the studio, hot off her tour, Mother, at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, is Margaret Cho.
Yes.
Margaret, New Zealand, we were talking about before, has just approved same-sex marriage. Apparently, you can marry people.
I am deputized to marry couples. I've married a few of them in San Francisco in City Hall, actually. It's a great honor to be able to do that. And I've been able to marry a lesbian couple and a gay couple on the steps in the same building where Harvey Milk was assassinated. Oh, wow. So it's a part of gay history, you know, and I even remember that. Like, that era of gay politics was something that my parents were involved in, that all, you know, the gay people that I was growing up with were involved in, and that's how I understood gay politics and got into it, you know. And so this is like my childhood, and that's what's so great about being able to have that kind of right to marry people. So I can marry people in New Zealand. I can marry people when they legalize gay marriage in Australia. Mm. But why doesn't Julia Gillard get behind gay marriage? Why is she unmoved? You know, that makes me really mad, because she says she's unmoved. No, your hair is unmoved. She is like, what is it? What is wrong with her?
We all ask the same questions.
Because she could really she could create a legacy. Mm. You know, she could leave this office and really be the one that changed everything by saying, I'm going to legalize gay marriage in Australia, and she's just not going to do it.
It would increase the economy. There'd be so many people. I mean, could you imagine all the decorators that would come out of
the
closet? Oh, yeah,
absolutely. The ice sculptures alone would just, I mean, can you imagine how great? It's going to be an amazing time in New Zealand, and I want this for Australia also, and for America, for sure, too.
So if you book shows in America and weddings?
Yes.
I mean, so not America, New Zealand?
No, I had, and then I had to cancel because I have to go back to work on Drop Dead Diva, which is my TV show, which is going back into production. So I have to go back there, which is sad because I really wanted to go to New Zealand, and it would have been a great time to be a part of this, you know. But, you know, it's great to be here in Melbourne. We're close enough. We are just so excited for them.
You just answered Paul's question. He wanted to know, are we going to see you on Drop Dead Diva this season? Which
yes.
is obvious as a yes.
Yes.
It's so great to see you every week on the show.
That's nice.
That's from Paul. Daryl says, Margaret and the Joy team, hello from the office with Angela, Dietra and Zoe.
That's nice.
That's
hi.
That's nice, yes. Up next, I do want to talk about your tattoos.
Okay.
Because you've got a lot of them.
A lot of them.
Great shows. Fun people. Joy 94.9.
The messages are flooding through for Margaret Cho, Brendan Bale and Paul Anthony with you. Margaret, you've got a lot of tattoos.
I do. Well, I started getting them because the people that I grew up with, these all these different gay men who would ride motorcycles and, you know, babysit me when I was a kid, all had a lot of tattoos all over their bodies, and they were getting tattooed by Don Ed Hardy, who, so I was probably one of the last people for Don Ed Hardy to tattoo because he was really kind of heading into retirement. He's in retirement now, but he's still making art. But he did a lot of my tattoos, and I have them from Kat Von D and from Mr. Cartoon and from Chris O'Donnell. And I mean, I have really, really great art, but it's to me very emotional too because it reminds me of people that I grew up with.
In your culture, though, it's quite taboo to have tattoos.
It's very taboo, yeah. Well, in Korean culture, we think because a lot of the people in organized crime have tattoos, it's a big deal to have them because it sort of says to everyone that you don't conform. But, you know, obviously, I'm not in organized crime. You know, I think it's really ridiculous. So I went to a Korean spa in Los Angeles, and the people there, the patrons, complained to the staff about my tattoos, and they wanted me to put my clothes on. And these are nude spas, you know, they're bathing spas. You're supposed to go to bathe, and so they asked me to put my clothes on. It's really alarming when you're naked and somebody asks you to get dressed. It's really weird. So I was really angry about it. You know, I complained, and I wrote a long blog entry about it, and I was just appalled. And I talk a lot about it in my show. So I wrote about it online, and it got 400,000 views in a day. And it was such a huge story because it was really about discrimination, like a tattoo discrimination. And I just got so many dirty looks, and like, it's so weird. Like, I don't think if I was actually in organized crime, you wouldn't give me a dirty look.
No.
You would not even look at me. I mean, I'm serious. Like, it was like a crazy thing where people felt like they could discriminate because it was all right, because it was somehow safe. And that is like the seed of any kind of hatred. You know, it's a seed of like homophobia. It's a seed of any kind of racism. It's just, I see it there. And I got so angry. So I was writing about all this stuff, and then people found out about it. And then the spa apologized so much, offered me tons of treatments. And I went back, and I didn't really want to go back, but I went back, and they were really nice, and everybody in the spa was nice. And so I just thought that they had closed the spa and hired a bunch of actors to be naked. Will you do a nude scene? Yes. So it's very odd. I don't know. People have their bodies. We're in our bodies. There's all this criticism about bodies, you know, and I think it's very weird because our bodies just house our souls. I don't know what meaning the body necessarily has beyond that. And so I just don't get it.
You come across so both strong and vulnerable at the same time when you're on stage. Mm-hmm. How much of that is the real Margaret Cho?
Well, I think it's all very real, you know. Because it's all just things that I've thought of and things that I... And especially that show on Tuesday was really improvisational because I was so needing to kind of be in the moment as I was so jet-lagged and confused as to where I was. So I was asking the audience to be with me, you know, so that we could create it together, because I was just like, I can't do this by myself. I need help. So that was a beautiful thing, and everybody was so with me on it, and that was really exciting.
You read the crowd, like, amazingly.
Thank you.
I could only see the back of their heads, but you could see the front of their heads. You were asking questions, kind of knowing what the answer was going to be, like about, you know, one guy, whether he'd been with a woman or not.
Yeah.
At the start, I actually thought you were asking a female, but you're asking a male. And then it turned out he was gay. And I'm just like, how do you read crowds so well?
Well, I mean, it's just about being in the moment. And you know, you get curious about people and you want to know what their experience is. And often because I talk about sexuality so openly, it will allow other people to talk about themselves openly. And then you find out the most interesting things. And you also just find out about people's preferences and who they are. And I think it's really precious. You know, we have a really good time together.
A question in, or more of a statement. You are a great role model. Who wants to conform into stereotypes?
Aye, that's nice. Thank you.
Another one saying, thank you for answering their question. Enjoy a coffee in Melbourne at one of the wonderful cafes.
Oh, yes, I will. I had an espresso martini that just knocked me down and picked me up at the same time. It was very, very interesting.
During the show, you talked about someone you were going to date or dating. Veronica says, did your Aussie girl and get back to you? So clearly she must have been at one of the shows.
Well, it all worked out, and you know, there's always a lot of drama with lesbians. There's a lot of drama all the time, you know, a lot of complaining and a lot of you know, talking to other people about the situation and like, you know, what would you do if you were me, what would you do? That was kind of like been my whole like lesbian experience, is actually talking about it more than actually doing it.
She goes on to say, love the Chris Isaak joke and how you say Melbourne.
Do I say it correctly? Melbourne.
You say it like a Melbourneite. So it's
That's great.
Yes.
Because people often say like Melbourne.
Yeah.
Like it's, Melbourne.
Well, when I saw you in Brisbane, you pronounced that correctly as well. So it's very impressive.
I love Brisbane, and I love my boys, the Briefs boys from Brisbane, which is Mark Windmill and Fez Fanana. They're beautiful, beautiful gay performers, and I'm going to go see them soon.
On the project last night, you came out of saying that you learnt that your background's not what you thought it was.
I know. Well, it's odd because I did a show that traced my genealogy. They actually traced it to like the 3rd century, which is amazing. But they also traced like the ethnic makeup of your body, you know, like what you are and by blood or what it seems to be. And I'm Korean nationality, it's Korean, but South Korean, but and North Korean. But my blood is actually Chinese. So it's a very strange phenomenon to have this idea of an identity and then told by a great authority that you're a different identity. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something like, you know, if somebody told you guys that you were from New Zealand,
be upset.
We could get married then, though.
Well, we could get married. But it's like people hang on to their identities so fiercely, but at the same time, like, what do they really mean?
Mm.
You know? I mean, stuff like that. Like, I don't think you could really justify it saying, oh, what if you were gay and you found out you were straight? That's not the same thing, because you know in your heart what you want and who you love. But in terms of ethnicity and race and nationality, all those things are just ideas that people have put on you. You know, gayness and that stuff comes out of you. All the other stuff is put on you. So it's a different thing.
Now, we are going to talk about bisexuality, but I was under the impression before the performance the other night that you said that you were queer, but now coming out as bisexual, is that...
I think it's just, bisexual is just so retro, and it's kind of like American Apparel. Like, it's kind of, it's just fierce and retro and kind of like, I don't know, like Farrah Fawcett. I don't know. It's really Olivia Newton-John. I think about, like, Olivia Newton-John, and I think about physical, you know, and Olivia is actually an old friend of mine. So it's fun to just play with that kind of, like, because she had an androgyny when she was, like, doing that album, and she had a lot of gay stuff going on. Like, the physical video was so gay.
So gay.
Because they all end up together, all the guys, and she's just like, well, you know, and this hag loses again. And it's so, like, to me, like, that's just so my life. And she was so, she seemed so bisexual, and not queer necessarily, but bisexual, because Olivia Newton-John is such a, she's such a kind of icon of femininity, but she was also very kind of masculine, like David Bowie. In her own way, she had this androgyny that was so beautiful and yet was so 70s. So I think bisexuality is kind of fierce, although it is limiting because there are more than two genders. You can't just say that male and female are finite. There's different expressions of gender that all different kinds of pronouns work and all different kinds of identities work. But bisexuality is a kind of retro idea, which I think is fabulous.
Do you get a lot of judgment for it, though?
No, because people... No. Well,
she's got tattoos.
Yes, yeah, well, yeah, I get judgment for tattoos. But no, not really, because there's so much silence around bisexuality. It's like... Nobody talks about it, and they don't have a huge representation in the LGBT community, but we're one of the letters. Mm. We're one of the four letters. There are the four letters. We actually are one. And so for some reason, I don't hear a lot of it, but I'd like to hear more of it. And so it's fun to just kind of go on. But it's truly queer. I mean, overall, everybody's queer. You know, that's kind of the blanket term, I feel like, and the blanket identity. You know, it's a safe identity politically, but I feel bisexuality is just a fun, fierce, fashion-y way to be gay.
Do you have a preference, and I'm speaking from a very ignorant point of view here, being bisexual, would you prefer to be with a male or female, or doesn't it matter?
It doesn't matter. I don't know. Because I prefer like masculine beauty, and feminine beauty is something that I want to have. So it's more that, like, I maybe go for the butch femme dynamic, and that goes over into heterosexual relationships that I have. Like, I love androgyny in men, and I love different varying types of beauty, different. Everybody's unusual and unique and beautiful. And so it's not, I don't know, it's hard to explain in terms like that. Because I also don't see people as purely male or female. So it's hard to say.
During a show, talking about reading the crowd, you spoke about bisexuality as well. Mm-hmm. You were passing off stereotypes, twinks. You're talking about twinks, you're talking about bears. Mm-hmm. And I was actually half expecting you to explain what a twink was and what a bear was. Mm-hmm. This was before that I knew there was only one straight person in the crowd. Do you have people who come up to you and say, oh, you know, what's a twink, what's a bear?
Well, I don't even know what I would say, because to me they're so familiar terms. It's just like, what's a man and what's a woman? You know, what is these different kinds of identities within the gay community are so familiar and comforting and real, and it's so beyond explanation, or no need for explanation, because that's who we are. And these are the things that we are. And I love that expression.
Our production manager here has a show called Asian Pop. And he wants to know, do you have any favorite Asian pop tracks at the moment?
I don't know what they're called, but I like all of the indie stuff coming out of Hongdae, which is great kind of heavy metal and indie rock. I just interviewed a band. I have a podcast called Monsters of Talk with my partner here, Jim Short, and we do this, you know, like comedy music stuff, and we're talking to Galaxy Express, who's a really cool, like, heavy metal kind of punk band from Korea. I think a lot of stuff coming out of Korea people are paying attention to is really K-pop, but that's not the only thing happening in Asia. There's so much going on, and especially in Hongdae, so that's an exciting movement for me.
So are you still focusing on your music at the moment then?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm making an album right now with Garrison Starr, who's a wonderful, 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 just amazing producer, amazing singer-songwriter, and we've written a lot of songs together, and so we're making this record.
I was just going to mention the True Colors tour that you did with Cyndi Lauper. How was that?
It was great. It was really great. I mean, I got to tour with Cyndi Lauper and Debbie Harry, who's awesome. I mean, I love Blondie, and I think Debbie Harry is just a magnificent singer and a great, great woman. And Cyndi Lauper is just a true gay crusader icon, just such a, I don't know, she's just brilliant, and her voice is beautiful, and she taught me to sing, so she helped me a lot, and you know, she got me like kind of getting up and singing with her, and it was really amazing. So, you know, Joan Jett was on that tour, Tegan and Sarah was on that tour, the Indigo Girls were on that tour, any lesbian who was a lesbian was on that tour. It was really good.
If you weren't into girls before, you would be after the tour.
Yeah, you'd have to be at that point. I mean, but it's so important to have these kinds of music festivals that are here for queer people. You know, it's such a straight thing, like a music festival, summer music festival, but it was so brilliant to have a queer one. Like, that's so cool.
Heaps of messages are coming through, so we'll get through some of them. Melbourne is Australia's multicultural city. You can be whatever you want. You can be fluid.
You can be everything. Yeah, yes. I love that.
This is from Jason. It says, you're invited to come along to Freedom to Be Melbourne, which is at Friday night, 7 p.m. at the Victorian Age Council Gay Men's Health Centre Building, 6 Claremont, South Yarra, a group supporting people of faith and diverse sexuality.
Oh, that's nice. That's so really great. You're going to go like meet people. You can come pick up people out there.
I'm not sure.
I think so. Cruising. Cruising alert.
I'm not sure. Do you want to grab this one that I can't pronounce?
Yes. To Miss Cho, Maya Angelou is my favourite American iconoclast, along with you, of course. But if you were on the American Iconoclast series, who would you like to visit and why?
Well, I think it would probably be Deepak Chopra, maybe. Ooh. Or I know Alice Walker well, so that would be a good one. Or Amy Tan is a lot of fun, too. Or, you know, Dan Savage. He's my favourite.
Yes.
Yeah, he's awesome. He and I hung out with his husband, Terry, in Stockholm, Sweden. And so we were there for Stockholm Pride, and he's just wonderful. I really love Dan Savage, and so I'm so excited to that he's out there, like he's, you know, promoting this whole campaign of It Gets Better. And I think that he's really helped. He's helped a lot of gay teens just live. Mm. And that is, you know, inestimable, his complete, I don't know, his contribution to gay people. I mean, it's really amazing.
Now, Margaret, you're quoted as saying, always eat ass last. Do you stand by that quote?
I don't know anymore. I mean, I've gone back, you know, because like, remember in the 80s, we would eat a lot of carbs and no fat. And then in the 90s, we stopped eating carbs and ate fat. And so you couldn't change. Like, so I don't know, like, if I would eat ass first now. I mean, it just depends, you know. It's like, or am I going to only eat ass? Then what do you know, like that could be, you know, it could be a standalone meal. You can, it could be a light lunch.
A happy meal.
A happy meal. A happy meal.
Has your mum come to any of your shows?
Oh yeah, all the time.
So
yeah.
What does she say when you come off stage and you're a little bit sort of out there?
Oh, she loves it. I mean, she just loves like everything. And I think that women in Korean culture, as they get older, become really invisible. So the fact that she's really celebrated in my shows, and that I'm getting older, and that I'm still kind of getting to do all this great stuff, is so thrilling for her. So I feel excited. I mean, she's really happy about it.
We need to talk about Kathy Griffin. Now, is there a sibling rivalry of such with you guys to be queen of the gays?
Well, she can be queen. I mean, I think it's great. I'd rather be prime minister. Wouldn't that be fierce? It's like, oh, girl, you could be queen. I'd rather actually be the government. You could be an honorary monarch. But I actually want to rule things. So I think she is genius, and she's a really good friend of mine. And we're old, old, old friends. And, you know, it's like a 25-year plus friendship. And I'm just so in love with all the things she's done, and her comedy, and, you know, what she's done for the gay community and for entertainment and for television and for women. So she's just a rock star, you know, and I think it's awesome that she's queen.
The last few weeks, Brenda and I have been talking about relationships, more so on the realm of cheating. What's your view on having a monogamous relationship?
Well, I personally don't believe in monogamy for myself, because I just can't, I don't want to, because I can't be dishonest like that. Like, if I was to say that I would be monogamous to somebody, it would be a lie. And I know it's a lie, because I just wouldn't be. And I think that when you enter a relationship and you have that kind of honesty, it's really great. It's important, but it's you have to be mature enough to deal with it and mature enough to really have somebody that is not just doing it because they like you or they just want to go along with what you're doing. You have to really believe it. But I've just found monogamy not to work for me. And then I hate cheating. I think that's really ugly because you're taking somebody's trust and trust in their body and you're really, that it's be really ruinous, you know, and it can be a really soul destroying experience. So, you know, I believe in the idea of just full honesty and real relationships. Like, why pretend to be in a relationship and cheat? Who does that serve? That doesn't serve anybody. You know, it doesn't do anybody any good. Because if it's all a lie, then it's not worthwhile. It's not really love.
You're quoted as being a comedian, actor, a director, recording artist, writer, now non-monogamous. Which one do you fit into the most? Like, what do you identify yourself as?
Well, I'm a comedian. I mean, that's my job and my love and my life and my spirit. And, you know, that probably second to that would be activism. And that's so important. And I think everything kind of feeds into that.
So how's your show going?
It's going great. It's going great. It's kind of different every night because I'm really feeling what's going on here. You know, it's a chance for me to spend a whole week in Melbourne, which is so rare. I've never gotten to do that. So I want to be kind of just new every night. And I think if you came back, it would be totally different from what you saw before. So that's really fun. And so I encourage people who've seen it already to come back because it's going to be rewritten every day. It's fun.
It'd be good to actually go to the first one and then go to the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
then you
come back and then, you know, see what there's to see. And also at my shows, it's like the best cruising because like they're the best looking gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgendered in the nation. I mean, it's like really this is an opportunity not to be missed. It's like a ball. It's like you're all Cinderella.
You do pull a pretty crowd.
It's beautiful.
Sure.
I mean, everybody is so beautiful. And I've had so many great things happen where people have met their partners at the shows and they have children. So now over, you know, being a performer for 30 years, you really do get to see how people kind of have like grown out of what your work has done. And so that's very, very cool.
I've been doing it wrong. I've been coming to Joy for 9 years, met nobody. I should just go to your show.
Yeah, you come to my show and you'll meet anybody. There's so many people. And I mean, everybody is so lovely. And I'm so proud to do it.
What can people expect to go and see your show, Mother? And why is it called Mother?
Well, it's sort of initially called Mother because I'm old enough to be everybody's mother, but I act like a child. And I think that if you're gay, you don't have those social signifiers to tell you what to do. Like if you didn't go to university and get married and have kids, you don't have society reflected back to show you what you're supposed to be doing. That's why gay marriage is so important because it settles us down. You know, I think when gays get married, if they're able to have like families, then we won't have like things like drug problems and debt and like crazy stuff because you're not just living for yourself, you're living for your family. And so this is I think an important thing. So that was like the idea of it. But of course, it goes into all these different directions and it gets really wild.
One thing that I can't fathom, you mentioned in your show that like as a kid, little girl, you used to sit by yourself in the playground. Mm-hmm. You get picked on a lot. You're bullied. Mm-hmm. All sorts of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you ever know that you were going to be where you are today?
Well, yeah, because, you know, when I was being bullied and stuff and being very lonely, I just decided to look at it as the truth that it is that I'm a celebrity. And I was always one. So it really has less to do with like, you know, when you're singled out, people always kind of think, oh, it's got to be negative. But no, it can be really positive.
You mentioned in your show, too, that if you see, and I don't want to take too much away from the show, going through the show, it's great, but this is just really great topics, that if you see a gay child, go up to them and say, you know, you're a superstar.
Yeah.
What is it with today's society that sort of signals out the gay kids straight away and don't let them sort of grow up?
I don't know. It's fear. It's like fear of the unknown or fear that they may have a harder life. I think that it doesn't come out of a bad place all the time. It's like fear that they're going to suffer because of what we perceive, you know. And I think the more we encourage gay kids, the more we just let them be who they are and love them and support them openly, be really, really vocal about it. I think every gay adult has a responsibility to gay children. And you know when you see a gay child, you just know. I mean, there's no hiding it. You really can't tell.
Well, I've got to mention, though, I've got to give a shout out to a horrible ex-flight mate of mine.
Okay, okay.
You might ask why I say that. Uh-huh. But he is the one that introduced you to me.
Oh, I'm
so
glad
I'm
for
So I'm forever
that.
Thankful to him.
Oh.
But it came at a time for me when I needed that guidance, and you offered that. Well, through your performances, so
well, thank you
big
so
thankful
much
to you as well.
I'm very grateful.
How sweet! I've got
That's
this
great.
Tear coming.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It
thank
is
you
nice.
So much.
It is nice. Before we let you go, your tour ends in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Where does Margaret Cho go from there? What are you? What have you got coming up? Films? Anything?
I will go do Drop Dead Diva in Atlanta. We'll film for a few months, and then I'm going to go out in another world tour, and then I'll be making my record this whole time. So, lots of different stuff.
Okay, so it's not being axed. Somebody just wrote in and said it's being axed.
No, it got canceled and then it got uncanceled. I don't know. It got reordered. I don't know how that happened. It's really weird, but it's the nature of television, I guess. But we're going back to work soon.
If you want to know more about Margaret Cho, you can get across to margaretcho.com. Also, check out comedyfestival.com.au and check out all the dates. It'll be a laugh and a half. We had a ball. So.
Thank you so much. I did too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, I guess the last thing to say is, Margaret Cho, thank you for joining us here on Joy.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.